Well, last week we talked about truth not being a thing. Truth is not a what. Truth is a who. Truth is Jesus Christ. It says he is the way. We understand that. The early Christians, the movement was called the way because that was the way to get back to God, to connect with God. And people understood that Jesus was the way. And Jesus also said that I will give you life. In fact, John 3:16, the verse we all know more than anything, is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. So we know that he was the way and we know that he's the life. But when it comes to Jesus being the truth, it doesn't work out so much in today's society. Because we live in a time where there is no such thing as an absolute truth for most people. It becomes relative. And one of the last things that we talked about was this expressive individualism that basically says what is good for me, whether it's good for you or not, is my truth. And don't you dare step on my truth. I won't step on yours, but you don't step on mine. And we create this thing where there is no right. If I want this, it's mine to take because that's what I believe. And we have this distorted lens about the truth. But if we listen to Jesus when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, we see the truth isn't just something arbitrary. It's not something that we measure. The truth is a person. The truth is Jesus. And so I want to talk this week about what does it mean to be in a relationship with Christ. What does it mean to be the church? Oftentimes, when I grew up in the Methodist church, we had a communicants class where you basically, in the third grade, you got a King James Bible with gold embossed your name on it. And they gave you a Bible, and of course, you're in the third grade, you can't read all those these and thous and stuff, and you're just like, okay, thanks for the Bible, it's got my name on it. And you sat through a class. What does it mean to be a member of the church? Well, a member of the church does this, 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 this. And there was a list of things that this is what we believe, this is what we do, this is how we do life. And I grew up in a time where all of my activities seemed to center around the connection at the church. It's like what Leo said, you know, when he was in middle school or even in elementary school, that as you go through the school day, you just try to duck your head and dodge the bullets, you know, or the rolls being thrown in the cafeteria. But church was something that you looked forward to. Every time that we had a youth meeting, every time that the doors were open to the church, we were there. Whether it was for a dinner, whether it was for a Bible study, whether it was for a hymn sing, whether it was even to sit in those classes with those little flannel boards looking at this is Moses, this is a sheep, you know, and all of those things that we used to do as kids. All of my friends, the softball teams that I played on, came from the church. The other extracurricular activities that I did were people that I did life with at the church. And so church became this nucleus. It became something like a moth to a flame. We were drawn to the church. And that could be good, and it could be bad. The problem is, being drawn to a church really doesn't do anything for us. Oh, sure, it gives us an opportunity to come in, sit, listen, drink coffee, do some things like that. But we're not drawn to an institution. We are not drawn to a building. We are drawn to a community, and we're going to see that when Jesus talks about being a Christ follower, he's not talking about a list of do's and don'ts, and these are the things that we believe and the things that we blah, 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 like a communicants class. What Jesus is talking about is a relationship with him first, and then with each other. That's what the church is. The church is the people. I want to share some verses with you. Psalm 122 says this, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I want to gather at the church. Psalm 127 says this, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you get up early, and that you go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. It's that relationship, connection with Jesus that is and makes us the church. Psalm 134 says this, "Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord, and lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord." These are calls for us to come to gather and to praise an almighty God, not just to come and gather and say like, "Hey, it's good to see you. How you doing?" "Well, I'm fine." "Well, you're really not fine, but we're going to say that anyway," and we just wave to each other, then we leave. No, we come together as a community to worship and praise an almighty God. That's our job. The number one job is to glorify God. I want to read a story, and you're familiar with it. It's in John chapter 15. It says this. Jesus is talking, and he says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." I had in our backyard, I'm growing a bunch of plants and chickens, and we're growing all kinds of things right now, mostly anthills, but we'll take care of those. The idea is to use the space the best that I can. Well, I noticed I had this old red tip that was dead. And so I had the spooky looking tree that just kind of towered over nothing. And so I called up a man in our neighborhood, and he came and we cut down the tree. And as we cut down the tree, it's like as the branches fell, the branches were already dead. And these things are ready to be put on the fire. No fruit, no leaves, no nothing. And so we chopped up the branches, so I've got all this kind of kindling and stuff, and then I've got some already seasoned firewood because the tree's been dead for I don't know how long, but, you know, just got around to it. And yesterday, I went out there, and I took a bunch of the branches and just threw them in the fire, and we started a fire, and the branches just, you know, they just burned up. They were no good. All they're doing is just taking up space in the yard. That's what Jesus is saying here, that he is this vine. And through the vine, as his people, we are connected to that vine. But if we're no longer connected to the vine, what happens? We end up dying. It's almost like if you take a fire and you take an ember out of the fire and you put it over here, eventually it dies out. It no longer receives the heat. It no longer can play off of the fuel. It's just all by itself, and it just dwindles and it dies. And Jesus is saying, if you abide in me, you're going to have this life-giving faith. You're going to have this life-giving water. You have a connection to me. But apart from me, you can't do anything. You think about Sandra's prayers where she is passionately crying out saying, "God, we could come up with all kinds of strategies. We could come up with all kinds of things, but if you're not in it, it's no good because we can't do anything apart from you." And that's what Jesus is saying. If you're connected to me, you're going to be able to do all these things. But if you lose that connection, you're going to die. In fact, he says you're going to be gathered up like the branches and you're going to be tossed into the fire. It's no good. You're not bearing fruit. You're just taking up space. To abide. Did you hear that all the way through there? Everyone who abides in me. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. You abide in the vine. All through there. Abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. When we talk about to abide in Christ, we're talking about this union. And this union, it depends on his grace, on his mercy, not on ours. You know, that's scary in the Lord's Prayer where we say, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Yeah, God, we want you to forgive all our sins, but doggone it, I'm not going to forget their sins. You know, that's that human side. And Jesus is saying, no, abide in me, and that stuff just disappears. You have strength in me, and it's the work that I'm doing. It's not the work that you're doing. It's the work that I'm doing, and it's the work that I've already done, this connection to this divine gardener that keeps us connected to the vine. It also means to be obedient to what he says. Do his word, live his word. This is what he says in John 15, verse 7. He says, if you abide in me, my words will abide in you. In John 1, he says this, to all who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In other words, he's saying there's this open invitation. Come, I'm going to graft you into this vine, and then, man, I'm going to source all this power into you. But we want to keep pulling away. We want to grow. We want to put oranges when we're an apple tree. You know, we want to do our own thing because we don't want to be controlled. We want to control. Being obedient. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Paul says this in Ephesians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Abiding in Christ means to fill our minds with all of the things that come from God, where he directs our will, transforms our affections, our relationships. Also, Christ in this section here underlines a further principle. He says, abide in my love. Abide in my love. He states very clearly what this applies. He goes on to say in verse 13, and I didn't read it, I skipped over it. It says, the believer rests his or her life on the love of Christ, the one who would lay down his life for a friend. That's what true love shows. Jesus gets very specific in his words here. He says, my love, my joy. John 15 says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. This is Jesus talking. So abide in my love. And he says this, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. In other words, connect to the vine and let the vine feed us. If we're not, John Piper says this, if we are not united to the vine, then nothing of any lasting value will come from us. So how are you connected to the vine? How are we connected to each other? How do we, you know, I'm not trying to bring back the second chapter of Acts where 3,000 people come in and they start speaking in all kinds of languages and we just start, you know, millions are being saved every day. I'm not trying to recreate that. The second chapter of Acts, that church was specific to that time. And I'm not trying to create a church where I'm saying like, hey, we got to do this and this and this and this and this. What I'm trying to do is to be a church that understands our role is to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And what does that look like? What does that look like? Hebrews chapter 10 says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. How do we encourage each other? How do we stir up? Are we stirrers? Are you stirring up people? Are you connecting with people? Or are we just coming in on Sunday morning and saying like, okay, good, get us out quick because, you know, the Falcons are on or the Braves are on or blah, 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 whatever's happening. Who are you connecting with? Who are you doing life with? And again, back in the day when I was growing up, most of my connections were people in the church. That's where most of my friends were. Those were the people I hung out with. Those are the people I actually wanted to hang out with because some of the people in high school, if I'd keep hanging out with them, I'd be on a wanted poster by now instead of being a pastor. You know? Who are we encouraging? Who is stirring us up? Well, I want 3 Point to be a church, first off, where everyone is welcome. If you come in the door and you don't feel welcome, then we're not doing our job. We're not the church. The church is to love God first. That's what Christ says. If you abide in me, in other words, connect to the vine, let's love God first, and let's let his power through us. But then, once we're connected to him, then what we do is we spur one another on. We're there for each other. We produce fruit. And what does our fruit look like? Some of us are probably persimmons. You know, we're sour. Aren't persimmons sour? I don't know. I've never even had one. And what does a huckleberry look like? Do you know, Roger? No, I hear huckleberry. All I know is huckleberry hound. He's blue. But I have no idea what a huckleberry Steve Devane and I were talking about that the other day. We have no idea what a huckleberry is. There's that rabbit trail again. But I want to be a church where everyone is welcome. What does that look like for 3 Point? What does that mean? Well, in Revelation chapter 22, it says this, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take this free gift of the water of life." In other words, our door should be open to any and everybody. I want to be a church that welcomes people. I want to be a church that embraces people. I want to be a church that when we sit here, we think like, you know who should have heard this sermon today? And I don't mean it in a way like, so-and-so should have heard this sermon today. I mean, you know who should have heard that sermon today? That guy that I work with. So I'm going to invite them next week because I want them to get this good news. I want to be a church that welcomes people that are hurting, people that are different, people that are experiencing unimaginable things in their life during this time. That's what I want to be. I want to be a church like the woman at the well where she left the water jar after Jesus confronted her and said, "Hey, I want some water." "What? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You're not going to drink the water out of my hand." And, "Well, what about your husband?" "Well, I don't have a husband." "You're right. You had 5 of them, and the one you're living with now ain't even your husband." I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. And once he told her about this everlasting water, this water of life, that she wouldn't thirst anymore, she left her stuff there, ran to town, and told everybody about it. Are you that excited about the good news? That's what the church is. Sharing the good news of the gospel. I want to be a place where everyone is welcome, but one thing we have to understand, and this is the second thing, is we need to be a place where everyone is needed. Listen to that again. Everyone is needed. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, there are different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but it is the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. In other words, we've been given gifts and talents. And we say like, "Hey, how can I serve? What can I do?" We need to be a place where you need to feel that you are welcome. We've talked about how Jesus says, "I am the vine." God, of course, is the vine dresser. He's the one that grafts us in. He's the one that feeds us with his Spirit. We are connected to him. But the Bible also says that Christ is the head and we are a body. Christ is the head and we are the body. And sometimes I scratch my head because it's like the body of Christ is in a wheelchair and we're paralyzed. And that's not the Spirit of Christ. He's given us a power, a spirit of power. And he even said that in our going, that the gates of hell won't be able to stand against you. But we're sitting back like this, like, "Oh, don't come after me." Instead of going out and being the light and being the church. Everyone is needed. We need heads. Christ is the head, but we need hands. We need feet. We need heart. We need eyes to see. We need ears to hear. You know, we need hearts, people that will love others that are hard to love. We need feet, people that don't mind going and serving. We need hands, people that will serve. We even need the backside, because if you don't have that, things get backed up. So you have to have those in the church too. But I'm saying that we are the body. And we have to be, if part of the body is not working, then the body is not at its best. Not only is everybody welcome, guys, you are needed. You're needed. Paul says this, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable." So do you feel that you're connected to the body, or are you just kind of come and sit and whatever? Because we need to take care of that. It's a relationship problem. It's not a church membership problem. It is to be a member of the church, to be a Christ follower, is to be in a relationship with Jesus. And that's what we have to get right first. Not only where people are welcome, where people are needed, but I want to be a church where everybody's changed. Everybody's changed. In our prayers, we used to always say, Father, I pray that we would leave this place today different than when we came in, that we would go out filled with His Spirit, that we would go out in faith, we would go out in strength, that we wouldn't just go like, man, that was great. I love the way that you did this. And then we're gone and we forget about it. I want to be a church where we feel the power of God. Paul says in Romans, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we know that. But then we see this, and this is in the book of Samuel. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will be changed into a different person. Jesus says, behold, the new has come. The old has passed away. It's a new life that I've called you to. I've given you a new name. You used to be not my people, but now you are my people. You used to be not no mercy. Now you're have mercy. So God has given us the opportunity not to be the same, to be different, to be changed. And I'm not talking about like Stepford Wives. I'm not talking about where we walk around with this fake smile on our thing, singing the joy of the Lord is my strength the whole time, like everything is good and fine and dandy. No, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The problem is we don't have real joy because we are so caught up in everything that's happening in the world. Okay? Some people still wear masks. Some people refuse to wear masks. Some people say one mask doesn't work, so they started wearing two. And then they came out and said two masks don't work, so now they're wearing three and a shield. We live in fear, not just of this virus, but we live in fear of different things, and so we stay at home. And we lock ourselves up, and we think, okay, one day things will get back to normal. What is normal? What does it look like? So do we stop being the salt? Do we stop being the light? Do we stop being the truth? Do we stop being ambassadors and just wait? No, this is the time that God has called us for such a time as this. And so I want to invite you to be the church with me. I want to be the church. I want to be different. I want to leave here changed each week. I want to leave here embracing others. I want to leave here knowing that this good news doesn't just pour over me, but I can share it with you and I can share it with others because it's something that it's a relationship, and I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, it only comes if it's in a relationship with you. We're not trying to impress each other. We're not trying to set a record. It's not about nickels and noses. Father, it is about this relationship with you. And I pray, Father, that 3 Point would be a place where we would be ambassadors that welcome, that we would be ambassadors that feel needed, that we would be ambassadors that leave changed each week. Each time we open the Bible, Father, I pray as we study your word, it's different. Father, every time we pray, when we get up off our knees, I pray, Father, we feel different. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be free to move amongst our congregation. And Father, I pray that we would be connected to the vine. And Father, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.